Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
Joining me live now, Congressman Ryan McKenzie, freshman member of the United States House of Representatives and representing us here in Pennsylvania, 7th Congressional District of PA. And that covers, if you don't know, Lehigh, Northampton, Carbon Counties, a part of Monroe County, and obviously just voted for the big, beautiful bill. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. Good morning, Dawn, my favorite radio host. Great to be back, as always.
Thank you very much. I said this when they named it the big, beautiful bill. I know Trump, he loves to say beautiful. Yesterday he was holding his big, beautiful cabinet meeting and talking about changing the light. He loves the new, beautiful fixtures. But I said, you know, as a woman, I don't want like big and beautiful and the same. I don't think the big is so beautiful. You voted for it. What do you love about the big, beautiful bill? I'll start there.
Yeah, well, I break it down into four distinct categories. So this legislation that is now law provides tax relief for all Americans. It protects our communities by securing the border and upping law enforcement throughout the country. It reforms government in very critical ways for important programs that help vulnerable individuals. And also, it makes really important investments in our future. So in each of those categories, major positive changes and something that I think is really going to be a big benefit for our country going forward.
And so when you think about energy here in Pennsylvania, Congressman McKenzie, we've talked a lot about energy, drill, baby, drill, Pennsylvania, jobs, getting those jobs back. What is BBB? What does it do for Pennsylvania specifically? Which, by the way, of course, is good for the rest of the country when we think about energy.
Yeah, when we're looking at our future, we see the increased demand for energy coming online with data centers and other AI technologies needing so much of this energy supply. But what they also need is reliable sources of energy. And so, you know, lots of people love renewable energy, and I'm an all of the above person. I'm supportive of everything. But what that does not provide is reliable baseload power at this point. And so that comes from things like natural gas and even nuclear. So we took a critical eye at a lot of these energy tax credits out there, recognized that some of them were not effective, they were wasteful, not helping the industries that we wanted. And then we also saw things like nuclear that we want to get back online. We want to expand that. We know that can be a tremendous source of power. And so we continued some of those things. So I think it was a really reasonable approach that we took here to make sure that we're directing our resources and our effort towards the power and the energy supplies that are actually going to benefit and maintain a reliable grid, affordable energy, and also make sure that it is based right here in the United States of America. So I think there's a really bright future ahead of us. I mean, Pennsylvania is so blessed with the natural gas resources that we have. We need to make sure that we are reasonably and responsibly extracting those resources, but then also they have a way to get to market. And so you do need, the proper infrastructure in place to make sure that it can get to our customers. And again, if we do this correctly, we're going to be the energy leader, not only in Pennsylvania, but also in the world. And there's really nothing that stops us other than the radical agenda that for so long has put the brakes on things like natural gas and nuclear energy. But what you're starting to see is, and you know, hopefully your listeners have seen some of these headlines, but in places like Europe, they're backtracking on some of their green policies because it just spiked energy prices in places like Germany. And even here in the United States, there was an article yesterday about California, how they were starting to walk back some of their policies because they recognized their prices were spiking too. So the green radicals, I think, are starting to be in retreat because their policies were failing. People were seeing the higher prices, the lack of energy, and this is a change of course, and a really positive development for the country.
Yeah, I agree. You know, when we talk about Pennsylvania, obviously for Pennsylvanians specifically in our Commonwealth, Social Security benefits not subject to state income tax, But depending on your earnings, even if you're retired, maybe you have some pensions, investments, and that sort of thing that you get money from for your retirement funds. So for some people, Social Security benefits would be taxable at the federal level. Can you explain why the BBB, the Big Beautiful Bill, what it did for Social Security, people who rely on Social Security, and what that means also for the economy?
Yeah, I mean, this is huge. I mean, we have heard for years, and we recognize this problem, that seniors have been struggling. And so for so many people, when they go into retirement, they're on a fixed income, but that income is 30-40% lower than maybe what they were making in their last job. And so they are struggling as costs rose during the Biden inflationary years, and they had a fixed income that was level, they were getting pinched. And so the One Big Beautiful Bill provides real tax relief to seniors through an additional $6,000 deduction for individuals who make up to $75,000. For couples, that's up to $150,000. They could have an income, and then it doubles, and it's a $12,000 deduction. And even after that, it does phase down, so higher income earners would see a little relief beyond that. But what this translates into, Don, is that 88% of seniors will now not be paying federal income tax on their Social Security income. That's an expansion. 14 million additional seniors across this country are going to see and experience this meaningful tax relief. I mean, that's huge. And so this is the type of reform that I think myself and others have been trying to get to for a long time. And you hear about it from the other side as well. Democrats always say, oh, we want to help seniors. We want to help low-income individuals. Well, this was their chance to do it. They voted against it. We were actually able to get it signed into law with the House, the Senate, and President Trump all in alignment. And seniors are going to feel this real tax relief when they go to file their taxes next time.
Yeah, I highlight it, Congressman, because I'm surprised that more people don't say what you just said as a headline. I think that is huge, and it's right there, makes a drastic difference for a large number of people. I was looking up just some of the stats. 69 million Americans a month get a Social Security benefit. And so it was the number that was given by the Social Security Administration was 1.6 trillion in benefits paid yearly, and that was last year. But are you surprised that more people don't? I mean, the media doesn't seem to focus on it, but it seems to me that seniors, maybe it'll be like a little surprise package, because I just don't hear a lot of people highlighting this.
Yeah, I mean, look, we know the media, the mainstream media, is against us. And so they always want to play the doom and gloom and the fear scenarios. And so it's incumbent upon myself and others to get the message out about all the positives in this legislation, because it is so impressive. It is so huge that you see across the board, all Americans are not going to see a tax hike. If we would have let the 2017 tax cuts expire, every single American would have seen their taxes go up. So we averted that. But then on top of that, not only did we make those tax cuts permanent for all Americans, we reduced taxes on tip workers, on people that work overtime, like nurses and firefighters, who we know there aren't enough people in those jobs right now. So a lot of them are working overtime. They're going to see tax relief. Seniors, which we already talked about, something that I talked about and championed was making the child tax credit permanent. Yes. So now it is it's even increased. It was going to go back to $1,000 per child if we didn't do anything. We were able to increase and expand it to $2,200 per child, and then it's indexed for inflation. So going forward, that's going to continue to rise. I mean, that is real tax relief that working families are going to see money going back into their pocket. And again, you know, the economy is going to take off because a lot of the positive tax reforms we made for small businesses, but the real benefit, I'm telling you, is going to come when people do file their taxes next time and they get much more money coming back to them. And then that's something that they can either invest or save or, you know, pay off bills, whatever they want. But that's when you're going to start to see that real economic impact in next year, early next year. So I think there, again, so much positive tax relief and reform here for everybody in America's economy that we should be shouting it from the rooftops.
Another one that hasn't made, I think, huge headlines was during the cabinet meeting yesterday with President Trump. he turned to Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, who, and he just wanted a report from him. And I don't know, this was they were focusing on the Epstein stuff and all of that. So I think it was glossed over, and maybe, you know, unfortunately, to your point, the media is never going to say a positive. But Bessent highlighting the fact that the U.S. collecting $100 billion in tariff revenue so far this year, and really looking to rake in $300 billion by the end of the year if the tariff scene goes right. They also called out the office that guesstimates, you know, some of this. And so, you know, when we talk about the big, beautiful bill, and a lot of concerns among especially conservatives, right, because we're the balanced budget people, I think we focus on that. And the big spending is a concern, all of that. But when we look at that, does that, you know, make you more optimistic when we think about the money rolling in, when interest rates go on? How do you balance that out? And what do you see, Congressman McKenzie, as far as, you know, your concerns that you've talked about here and everywhere about the concerns for the deficit?
Sure. Well, look, I think people need to look at these things in totality. You can't look at what we're doing in one single piece of legislation or a single area and think that you have the whole picture. I mean, President Trump is leading the way on reorienting the entire economy, and it is one that is going to benefit working class Americans. I mean, that is for sure. We have seen for years our jobs go overseas because of countries not competing fairly. We wanted to always say, oh, well, it's a free market and a fair market. That was not the case. We were playing by a different set of rules than all these other countries. And so we are putting in reciprocal tariffs on these other countries that are going to have barriers to American products going overseas. We're putting them in place. We're the biggest market in the world. People are from these other countries are going to want to continue to sell here. And what you're starting to see is that American jobs are returning. At the same time, tariffs are being collected to the tune of, like you're saying, you know, a couple hundred billion dollars a year. I've seen estimates that it's going to be about $2.5 trillion over a 10-year period. And so you take that into account when you look at what we did with the One Big Beautiful Bill. Yes, we're bringing down taxes and providing tax relief. At the same time, we're collecting additional revenue through the tariffs. And what we are seeing is this has not been materializing into any kind of large inflationary pressures. The inflationary numbers are actually coming down to that 2% target, which is what we're always after. And again, but people are going to end up with, Americans are going to end up with more money in their pockets through this tax relief. So you got to look at all these things collectively. And what I think we're going to start to see is, again, American job growth, real wage growth for Americans, which has been stagnant for so many years. And then ultimately, we want more prosperity in America for American citizens. And so, again, I think we're really starting to see the benefits of it. But I think in the long term, this is a really positive development. And again, if countries want to compete fairly, specifically on tariffs, then we're willing to lower and reduce our barriers. But people should not be taking advantage of America and our market like they have. And so thankfully, President Trump is standing up and pushing back on that.
Yeah. And speaking of taking advantage, you know, I swear every day, whether it's in news starting at the 6 a.m. hour, you know, and or moving forward, talking about the fleecing of America, specifically with Medicaid. Just yesterday, I had reported out of the CMS, which is a government site, and locally, we've had people, too, arrested on fraud, healthcare fraud, Medicaid fraud, 324 defendants charged in connection with over $14.6 billion in alleged fraud. And that was just within the last week. So locally and regionally, that was just one headline. Another one, shutting down Medicaid loopholes that that are supposed to protect vulnerable Americans. But in that one, once again, I think it was $30 billion I reported as far as these loopholes that take advantage of Medicaid programs. And so, you know, with that as a headline, and I talk about that, Representative Congressman McKenzie, I will say that the Medicaid narrative is something that one of your colleagues, and that's Brian Fitzpatrick in Bucks County locally, that Medicaid was the reason that he said he voted against the big, beautiful bill. So What do you say to people who believe the narrative, who believe these headlines that, oh, this is going to make drastic cuts for our fellow citizens who need Medicaid? What do you say to that?
Yeah, I think it's always critical that we reform and review government policies and practices. I mean, that's not something that we should shy away from. It's difficult work. It is oftentimes contentious. But you need to constantly be reviewing these programs. There is the fraud that you've talked about that is documented at this point. But some people just want to turn a blind eye to it and say, oh, nothing to see here, nothing to do, continue business as usual. But that is taking money out of the pockets of not only taxpayers, but you're taking it away from those vulnerable citizens that need this help. And so it's important to go after that fraud. Make sure that we're reforming these programs in a way to get the money to the programs that need it. And then at the same time, we made positive reforms to Medicaid that I think most Americans would agree with. So the biggest thing that we did was institute a work requirement for Medicaid. And why is that important? You got to remember, Medicaid was founded 60 years ago or so for the vulnerable populations of pregnant women, individuals with disabilities, children, et cetera. And so that had changed with the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. That expanded this program to just an income eligibility requirement for anybody, whether they have those conditions that might make them keep them out of the workforce or if they are just an able-bodied adult but low income. And so now that you have a large population of able-bodied adults, we felt it was important to put in a work requirement just like every other major human services program has. So SNAP already has a work requirement. TANF, which is Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, has work requirements in place. So these programs already have this check in place. That was not the case for Medicaid. And so that is the single biggest change that we put in place. It's something that also 70% of Americans agree with. And we say, if you want to participate in a program like Medicaid, you should either be working in a training program or even the lowest thing level of in community engagement that we ask for is volunteering part time. And this phases in over a 2-year period. So it gives people plenty of time to meet those requirements, understand what they are. That is not an irrational or unreasonable expectation for people to be participating in the Medicaid program. So I think that's a great reform. I think that's something that we should actually be supportive of, and I voted for it. I think others should be supportive of it as well. The other things are the ways that states have utilized different taxes to generate income for themselves to match against the federal government's contributions, because Medicaid is a state and federal program, and they've done it in ways that circumvent their own contributions. And so that means that they were always just spending without regard to, you know, merit or necessity, because they didn't really have any skin in the game. So this does make them have more skin in the game, and I think that that's a good thing, that now the interests of both the state and federal government partners in Medicaid will have more aligned interests. And so that's what we did with SNAP as well. We said the major reform to SNAP, which is, you know, oftentimes, you know, remembered as food stamps. We said, if you have a good, well-run system, there is no change to the funding you're going to receive. But if you have a lot of errors in your system where you're overpaying people, you're paying people that are totally ineligible for the program, then you as a state, you will have a penalty, because right now you have no cost share in that program. So that's not an unreasonable expectation as well. And so Governor Shapiro has pushed back on us and said, well, you know, so many people are going to go hungry. And my response to the governor is, nobody needs to go hungry. You shouldn't lose any funding. But right now you're running a really inefficient program where 11% of your payments going through the system are incorrect or being paid to people who aren't even eligible. And so if you clean up your system and get that number down below 6%, you'll see no reduction at all. And so that's a great way to incentivize a state to actually clean up their act. And hopefully Governor Shapiro will rise to the occasion instead of just complaining like he's been doing.
You know, I have to give you some kudos and high praise. You do something, especially for a freshman congressman, Representative McKenzie, and that is you get, for a Republican, you get positive media, you know, every time I look, you just in a major publication in Allentown, the Valley Ledger, they're headlining that you visited a homeless, you were addressing homelessness, that you were with firefighters there and visited and toured a homeless encampment. And so that's not, I don't know if you realize it, but across the country, that's not a common thing necessarily. And so I just want to point that out to you, because I don't know if you fully realize that it's a big deal. I mean, people, I sound like that SNL bit, like, by gosh, people like me. But, you know, people do, they like you. And that's a credit just to your, I don't know, your nature or the way that you just reach out to people. It's a little unusual, I will say, for a politician, an elected official.
Well, I appreciate that positive feedback. And you know that you have a big fan base also, Dawn. So, you're doing something right as well. But for us here locally, we want to recognize all of these challenges. We have such a great community in the Lehigh Valley. There's so much growth, so much positive energy and activity going on here. But like any community, you have your challenges, and we don't shy away from those things. We want to go understand those challenges, figure out how we can help. And in a case like homelessness, we saw and heard about the challenges that they have there. The fire department said we need the city leaders and local leaders to be leading the charge on this. But if they come up with a plan, can you help maybe get us, you know, some federal grant funding or provide resources if there is something that we think could meaningfully make a difference here? And the answer is absolutely. And so, we're looking, and I just talked to the mayor of Allentown the other day about the challenges they have. And so we need local leaders to step up on things like this. The federal government can't solve all the problems, but we can provide resources in some of these instances. And so, again, it's really important to be out there in the community, understand the different situations that people are going through, and figure out, okay, how can we best step in here to help when possible or when available.
Well, we always appreciate the check-in, Congressman Ryan McKenzie. We love sort of living vicariously.
I'm going to hold you up for 30 seconds, because I know you love to get personal updates.
Yes.
And so I have a big one here for you.
Uh-oh.
Is my wife and I are expecting our second child.
Aww.
A little baby girl is going to be joining us around Christmas.
Oh, my goodness. What a blessing.
Wow.
That congratulations.
Yep. Absolutely. We're so grateful, and it is a blessing, and we're looking forward to making sure that Leo has a little sibling that he can play with around the house in a couple of months.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Huge congratulations to you, Congressman McKenzie. We're all going to celebrate. Thank you so much.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.